Weapon business is the big business. You make the cash. I was a rich man when I was in that kind of business. Now I'm a poor man. Well, the difference is now I'm an honest man. Before, I was a crook. That is something that people are waiting for. Everybody's waiting for 2012. Why they're waiting for 2012? Why? Because they are hoping that this will lead to somehow a cosmic consciousness and the unveiling of certain energy. And that's true. Why? Because you are a corrupt nation, subservient to a Vatican, subservient to the Zionists, subservient to a new world order that, in my opinion, is completely corrupt. These elections, we support the Democrats. So, Republicans are not on the list of support of the Illuminati. They can't make it. McCain can climb walls, can do whatever he wants, he's not going to become anything. And you go and study the history of the Vatican, you will find that from Papa Onofi to many other popes in the Vatican, they have been practicing magicians. Parts of Freemasonry, grandmasters from various traditions, sometimes officially not recognizing each other, but still meeting there. Why? Because the Comedy of Monte Carlo is a weapon dealer's place. Because it's all about weapons. A conspiracy, if we want, to create Adolf Hitler and make sure that this being did what he did so they could then claim the Israel state. Everything in plan, so for the end of times, the Jews have their land. If you knew in reality what these entities were, you would not even touch them, you would just drove the other way. A Jesuit contacted an Italian journalist in the UFO scene and spread a certain amount of disinformation, including the fact that the CIV was still the greatest intelligence in the Vatican, with what? With 100 people, a couple of Benedictine monks, a couple of nuns, and the Vatican includes millions of members worldwide. They all function as intelligence from the beginning of time. I want to know more about the entities. Now, who is spreading this? How do you think? Zaccaria Sitchin met with Corrado Balducci. Who is Corrado Balducci? Corrado Balducci is not only the official spokesman for the UFO in the Vatican. You understand? This is just the front. Who is he? He's a demonologist. Anytime they accuse the American Indians, oh, these are pagans, what are they doing to us? So we have to do science, observe the stars. Oh, rubbish. If it is to create a fraternal bond of death, like the order of death in the Skull and Bones, then a human sacrifice is required. What is magic? The magic is the calculation of the arts with the peculiar calculations around the symbols to evoke certain entities and have from them, if you want, certain gratifications. The Vatican Library, and we have a lot of ancient artifacts, ancient books, very rare texts that could revolutionize the thought of mankind. But as I said, because we will have to go to the next stage of existence in one way or another, the Vatican wants to adapt. So how they adapt? They adapted with Corrado Balducci and the whole alien revolution coming into the Vatican, Secretum Omega and a couple of UFOs, and everybody's happy. Because it's a tendency in humankind to have the worship for these entities that can give you terrestrial power. We were talking about Anunnaki, we were talking about Nephilim, but there is these entities come from other dimensions, other places in this universe. They can cross over into this dimension if we evoke them, if we call them.
Bohemian Grove
is a different kind of initiation. There they like to dress up in even more fancy clothes, usually Republicans, a lot of prostitution goes on during the nights of Bohemian Grove.
A fake sacrifice ceremony or a real sacrifice.
Most of the people in the mind control sectors of the intelligence units, the people who are taking control of the PSYOPs operations, they are occultists. Because occultism and black magic is the most ancient form of military tool known to mankind. At the end, there will be a war and there will be dead people on the ground. Because the moment they want to microchip me, I'm going to take out a gun and shoot at them.
Hi, I'm Kara Cassidy from Project Camelot. We're here today with Leo Zagami, and we're going to be covering the Illuminati and their role on the world scene and exactly what their MO is, as well as their agenda. All right? So welcome, Leo, and thank you very much for bringing us into your house. We're very excited to be here with you today and be able to get a picture of the kinds of things that you've been part of in the past and maybe your vision as to where things might be going in the future as well.
My name is Leo Lion Zagami. I'm now 37, soon to be 38. Born the 5th of March 1970, from an English Scottish mother and a Sicilian father, both of aristocratic origin. One represents the Di Gregorio family of Sicily, which is an ancient aristocratic family connected to the Sacred Roman Empire. Well, instead, my mother is a Lion family member of the Scottish Lion family, which is also the family of the Queen Mother of England, connected to the Queen. So, basically, I was born within an aristocratic background. For that reason, it was possible for me, from an early age, to enter what is the world of the elite and what you know as the Illuminati. That are still existing today in various forms and under different disguises and different names. But mainly they work for a pyramid of power that ends up in Jerusalem and Rome and that represents both the Vatican and the Zionist establishment, together united to perform what they would like to be the New World Order, which is the result of their prophetic upbringing into this end-of-time scenario in which they see, as a final result, the Kingdom of God. Now, the Kingdom of God perceived by the Dark Illuminati, as I call them, because we have also Illuminati that are truly illuminated by God, and then we have the corrupt Illuminati, the evil forms of corruption that came into being, and at that point, to regain power, which they did, they unleashed a series of agents around all the secret societies of the time, and they also established and helped establish the Illuminati Order of Weishaupt, which saw within their members some very illustrious characters, like for example Napoleon, who was initiated himself by Cagliostro, Giuseppe Balsamo, and when he was a young lieutenant coming from Corsica. And this changed the history of Europe, because the great influence of the Jesuits upon, for example, Napoleon made sure that there was a clear revenge against what was perceived to be the enemies of the Vatican themselves at that time. The Jesuits, a clear revenge towards the enemies inside the Vatican, and this might have been also the Knights of Malta, that in that period with Napoleon lose, for example, their island and their sovereignty on that island.
Okay, what can you give me a definition of the Freemasons and how the Freemasons differ from the Illuminati?
The Freemasons come into being from a tradition which is both from the ancient craftsmen they used to work within the churches, so the people who knew how to construct churches were the Masons. They transmitted this craft. And on top of that, the knowledge to build those churches was a sacred knowledge, and that knowledge was given to them by the Knights Templars, that were the ones who traveled far east and conquered the land of Jerusalem and made sure that for a long time the Vatican was in control of the Holy Land. And so there is basically an ancient tradition that forms the Freemasons, but it's a self-made sometimes tradition with a lot of legends that have been deliberately created to misguide people and manipulate them. So then we have also the birth of the high degrees of Freemasonry, which are typical to what is known as the Scottish Rite system, for example with Cavalier Ramsay, which represented the Stuart family, which was a Scottish family that wanted to get into the throne of England for a long period of time, but the Hanoverians had their best, and the Hanoverians created themselves their own form of Freemasonry. So, in a way, Freemasonry was born with these two different oppositions inside, but they were oppositions just for the lower level of the pyramid, because on top everything is united, even the enemies.
So you're saying the Freemasons and the Illuminati were united at the top of the pyramid? even back then?
Freemasons are themselves a creation of the Rosicrucians, okay? Now, where do the Rosicrucians come from? The Rosicrucian Enlightenment comes into being in the 1620s with a guy called Jean Valentin André. He spreads these Rosicrucian manifestos that are secretly put in various places where people can see that there is a secret order, a secret college of initiated beings that existed from before. So they claimed that they were already an old order back then. But who are really the Rosicrucians? Well, the birth of the Rosicrucian coincides with the Neoplatonics of Oxford, with what happened when Giordano Bruno, this important Dominican who was also put on the stake later on by the Vatican in the year 1600, the year of the Jubileum, because he was accused of being not only an heretic, but of having used his magic and his evocation power. Giordano Bruno was a guy of great intelligence, and he went around Europe at that time trying to oppose in a certain way what the Vatican was doing, manipulating temporal power instead of spiritual power. That's why Luther came around, that's why the various schisms that were happening at that time. Scandinavia was breaking away, the Netherlands, England broke already away. They were all breaking away from the Mother Church in Rome. So there was definitely a lot of problems back then. Giordano Bruno went to visit Queen Elizabeth, became friends with John Dee. John Dee, this great magician, this great alchemist, he instructed him on the secrets that only Giordano Bruno knew about certain ancient practices from Babylonia, from Sumerian times. And after that, he traveled also to the court of other characters, the French king, the Spanish king. He met all the aristocrats of the time, but what happened after was that this was the cornerstone, this Neoplatonic society with John Dee, Giordano Bruno, the inspiration of Tommaso Campanella, the inspiration of Roger Bacon before Sir Francis Bacon. This is the fundaments that really lead to the birth of Freemasonry. The problem is, after we have the evil Illuminati coming into the picture. So, what was the Rosicrucian tradition up until the birth of the Royal Society gets scrapped off the map for terrestrial interest. So, what they are trying to do in 1717 with the formation of the first Grand Lodge of Freemasonry at the Goose and the Gridiron pub in London, it's already something corrupt, because the Illuminati, the real Illuminati that preceded them, didn't want in any way to have any kind of deal with the Church. One instead, Freemasonry was born itself as a deal between the Catholics, the Protestants, and other people to meet up in a common ground, which was the Lodge.
Okay, but isn't the basic
spirit
behind of Freemasonry and behind the Illuminati to be a search for enlightenment?
What I was saying is that, for example, until the birth of the Royal Society, Elias Ashmole probably was maybe one of the last truly genuine initiates. Then what happened after, but even Ashmole himself was corrupt and was working as a secret agent most of his time, not as a true enlightened being that is there to bring enlightenment. Most of this Freemasonic network started to be used for intelligence purposes, for purposes that were not the purposes probably of the people who originally founded true Freemasonry. You know, where is true Freemasonry being found? True Freemasonry is to be found in ancient times, at the time of Enoch, who is called the first master of Freemasonry. We talk about Abraham, we talk about the founding of the monotheistic religions, the coming of Moses, the coming of Jesus, and then the coming of Mohammed. All these are part of a series of illuminated masters and enlightened beings that want to bring illumination to this planet. Unfortunately, all the religions and Freemasonry included in all this has been corrupted by mankind. The intentions originally of these systems might be genuine, but sure. These days, for example, Freemasonry, what is Freemasonry? For most people, it's a boring club of middle-aged people that go and smoke cigars, have a nice dinner after that, some charity to justify their evil means, they give a lot. More they are evil, more they give charity in a certain way to cover up their evil, but this charity is tax deductible, so it's not really like they have no interest in doing this charity. It's always a tax deductible profit.
Well, is the root of it but the Catholic Church trying to earn, to basically, turn itself into to the rulers of society and owning all the money and is money at the root of the corruption? Is that your understanding or no?
Well, definitely my experience in Freemasonry, I was initiated on the 13th of April 1993 by Prince Aliata di Monreale in the Order of the Sword and the Eagle. I soon joined the Supreme Council of the 33 degree. As an aristocrat, I got initiated by a family friend, somebody who was close for many centuries, their family, the Aliata family in Sicily, is close to the Di Gregorio family. So these four aristocrats actually passing on high degrees or masterships within Masonic orders is not so unusual. In America is unusual. In fact, a lot of viewers from America, when they see me talking about the Duke of Kent, the Marquis of Northampton, or the Prince in Italy, or the Prince of Monaco, whatever, being in charge of orders, Masonic things, they kind of tend to say, but it's not really how we've been brought up in America, because here Freemasonry is a common thing for everybody. First of all, Freemasonry in America is not for everybody, because there's been a lot of racism, and that's why Prince Hall Freemasonry is born. That's why in the year 2008, we're probably going to have the first Freemason from Prince Hall Masonry to become the President of the United States, which is a 32-degree member, which is Barack Obama. So the thing is, is Prince Hall Freemasonry taking revenge upon the many injustices they have? Well, at the end of the day, Prince Hall Freemasonry is born to be recognized by the Grand Lodge of England. That's how Prince Hall, the founder, got recognized himself as the first black man to get this charter from England, being able to start this order only for black men, at the time only for black men. And,
but what is the significance of that?
The thing is, the Prince of Freemasonry comes into the realm then of being subservient. In fact, nowadays it's recognized for the first time in the last, since I think 2001 or recently, a few of the Prince of Freemasonry lodges start to be recognized by England officially. Now they are officially being submitted to the power of the United Kingdom Lodge of England, because when you get the recognition from the United Kingdom Lodge of England, at that point you're just aiming to become part of that chain. That chain that is born upon an aristocratic chain, because I said the Grand Mastership is given to the Duke of Kent, the Marquis of Northampton. Who are these people? These people are in reality in charge of holy orders also for the Church, for the Anglican Church, but connected to the Catholic Church, because, for example, the Knights of Malta, when the Reformation came into act, split themselves and became Knights of St. John in England, Knights United Order in Sweden, and a network of Knights of Malta under the Sovereign Monarch, but the Sovereign Monarch himself, to wear that cross is a copyright. You have to pay somebody. Sooner or later, that copyright will always link you to the Vatican, and every sovereign monarch in Europe has been submitted to the Vatican power even after the Reformation, because they were very clever to say we want to ask independence. But that was so the king could have many wives, the other guy could divorce, and anybody could do what they wanted. But the root of power is the Vatican. The Vatican also has a bank. And I was a Freemason belonging to the Monte Carlo Lodge, born out of the P2 propaganda lodge of Licio Gelli. The Monte Carlo Lodge, founded by Ezio Giunchiglia, William Rosati and Licio Gelli back in 1976 and modified during the course of time, stayed as the Committee of Monte Carlo, a representation of senior Freemasons from all various parts of Freemasonry, Grand Masters from various traditions, sometimes officially not recognizing each other, but still meeting there. Why? Because the Committee of Monte Carlo is a weapon dealer's place. Because it's all about weapons.
Okay,
it's about the sale of...
It's about economics, it's about running the world.
It's about doing wars, it's about selling weapons, it's about making money. That money goes into banks, the bankers are very powerful, but also the weapon dealers are very powerful.
Okay, but who's at the top of the pyramid? Who specifically? Is it the Pope or is it someone else?
This,
or is it the black?
We have to first of all divide power into temporal and spiritual power.
Right.
Okay? But the thing is that these two things are linked, like two keys or two eagles watching one side or the other, like the 33 degree Masonic symbol. This is the oppositions watching each other, but linked still. And obviously the Pope was always linked with the Emperor. So if the Emperor today is the President of the United States, but still under the Pope, because the spiritual blessing comes from the Pope.
Okay,
the Pope structure then
as...
The Pope
is a very old man. Is he really in charge, or is someone else in charge?
We have the Pope, then we have the Jesuits. And many people say, are the Jesuits in charge? The Jesuits are in charge for many years of the Secret Service of the Vatican.
Okay,
which is
do
also...
you know these people?
Yes, I have photos, if you want, with the head Jesuit of the Interreligious Dialogue Department of
what
the Jesuits.
Their
in fact, recently, I have been accused on the internet of being myself a Jesuit agent because there is pictures of me with senior Jesuits. Now, the problem is why I have pictures with the senior Jesuits? Because I was involved in interreligious dialogue, and up until even recently, last May, I participated to an interreligious dialogue meeting here in Oslo where this senior Jesuit was present, which is Thomas Michel, and for people it's strange that enemies can't meet up. Well, I was critic towards him, in front of him, but we still meet up. We don't have to go around with guns and shoot each other. There has to be a level of dialogue above all, even between the enemies. And this has happened always since the beginning of time. Now, if the opposition has only to be one guy like Alex Jones shouting with a microphone in front of a building, well, that is a very stupid opposition for me, sorry. Opposition has to be a constructive opposition. We have to propose some alternatives, discuss some possibilities.
Okay, but what alternative would you suggest? I mean, what is your vision, or what would your vision be? How would it be different than the Jesuits say? Vision for the world? Different spiritual path, different occupation, different preoccupation. What would you be how would you be differing from him?
Sure. Well, my intention is to reveal today, tonight, whenever you're going to see this video, a few things that might shock you. Like, for example, the revelation that in the Vatican himself, we have over 40 cardinals that are Muslim, and that are practicing the Jehoshuan, which is a specific holy book that the Muslims use for specific purposes, and called the Jehoshuan Al-Kabiri. And this book has been left to the descendants of Mohammed for a specific purpose, also leading to the end of times.
What is the purpose?
To be able to control that evil, those evil forces that, for example, the majority, unfortunately, in the Vatican practices with the black masses, with the evocation of certain entities, with the use of these demons. Now, people must say, how is possible the Pope is evoking demons? Well, if you just do a little bit of brief history lessons, and you go and study the history of the Vatican, you will find that from Papa Onofi to many other popes in the Vatican, they have been practicing magicians themselves, using evocations, publishing also material on these evocations, through who? The Jesuit order is in charge of the esoteric side of the Vatican. This has happened because the esoteric order is very important for the Vatican, as it includes all this secret information regarding the evocations and how they should be done. So, since the time of the Reformation, the Vatican didn't want the Protestant world to be left out of control. They said, okay, we might leave them independency, but in the meantime we have the Jesuits controlling them in any way possible, also through these links, like the secret societies, and then the Rosicrucians became corrupt and became themselves part of the Jesuit conspiracy in the 17th century.
Are you familiar with the SIV?
The SIV is a secret intelligence of the Vatican, supposedly, came into being during the period of the Second World War. The fact that it's still operative is a minus group of people compared to the secret service of the Vatican in the Knights of Malta. The Knights of Malta are the biggest secret service in the Vatican. They have a diplomatic immunity, they have a international sovereignty, they have a Grand Master which is totally sworn to believe that he has to be the true defender of the Pope, and inside his membership he has the head of the intelligence of the MI6, the head of the CIA, the head of the NSA. The top cosmic secret is for them no secret in the Vatican headquarters. When you are in charge of the Vatican Library, and the people in charge of the Vatican Library are the Jesuits, then you have the Knights of Malta. So basically the sieve, what is? Sieve was and still is, but limited compared to how it was used during the period of the Second World War, immediately after the Second World War, because after the Second World War it had to be used for the protection of those Nazis that needed to go in safe places, in the hands of the Americans, in the hands of...
So okay, why protect the Nazis?
Protect the Nazis because the Nazis themselves were actually born out of a conspiracy, if we want, to create Adolf Hitler and make sure that this being did what he did so they could then claim the Israel state. Everything in plan, so... For the end of times, the Jews have their land, as it's figured out in the ancient prophecies. So everything has to work in that way. So the Knights of Malta, as I said, are themselves the head intelligence operatives in the military field. The Jesuits in the information and disinformation field. Now, what happened with the sieve? The sieve, as I said, in the last 50 years has not been incredibly used, but sometimes it came into action. Though the fact that...
Have you met members of the sieve?
I have met members of the intelligence of the Vatican.
Okay, including the sieve.
The sieve is itself something that has been used in emergency times, okay? And I would like also to say that there is, unfortunately today, the disinformation coming from Jesuit headquarters. Disinformation comes into being when Zaccaria Sitchin meets in the year 2000 in Bellaria with Corrado Balducci. Zaccaria Sitchin also gets invited by the Pope, John Paul II, visits secretly the Pope in the Vatican, takes from him instructions to write his pile of rubbish, which is the end of days book that he has brought into being lately.
You're saying Zachariah Sitchin was told to write this book and was instructed on what to write?
Zachariah Sitchin was indeed instructed because he can't tell the truth. This guy is deliberately spreading disinformation because he can't reveal really the truth without causing problems for his cause, the Zionist cause, the cause of the Vatican, which he has... embraced.
Are you saying that Zachariah Sitchin is a member of what? The Illuminati?
Absolutely. Zachariah Sitchin is a member of the New World Order used to spread deliberate disinformation. Let's say, I want to just make you figure out how this happened. When, at the end of the 90s, in the alternative media, certain information started to spread, especially regarding these Anunnaki beings, call them Nephilim, call them however you want. Now, what are they really? Do they really want you to know what they are? No, they want you to know what they want, you know, how their idea that they want to spread is something of a pre-constructed idea, which is disinformation. It's not the real thing. If you knew in reality what these entities were, you would not even touch them. You would just drove the other way.
Well, tell us what is the real nature.
Okay, no, but I tell you just a
from
second.
Your point of view.
No, but it's interesting how the Jesuits spread this information. A Jesuit contacted an Italian journalist in the UFO scene and spread a certain amount of disinformation, including the fact that the sieve was still the greatest intelligence in the Vatican, with what? With 100 people, a couple of Benedictine monks, a couple of nuns, and The Vatican includes millions of members worldwide. They all function as intelligence from the beginning of time. They all go to confessions. The Catholics, well, they are part of an intelligence system run by the Vatican. That's how it is from the beginning of time. So they definitely don't need only one apparatus that can control. Then, if you go and study the history of the sieve, you see that it's a Jesuit-based thing that is full of Jesuits. So, and then, on top of that, who is running the astronomic laboratories for the for the Vatican, the Jesuits. For example, in Mount Graham in Arizona, nobody asks what is happening. I can tell you what is. I can tell you also what they are doing.
Well, tell me.
So people. So this information goes through, and then hits the appropriate sources, and they can say, okay, there is a Jesuit footage of Planet X. Another pile of the biggest pile of rubbish ever could only come out of the minds of the Jesuits. Why? Because the Jesuits are very intelligent. They can figure out how to take, sorry if I say very lower, the piss out of anybody, because they are really masters of deception. I work with them. I will show you some picture after of these people, but how they work is...
But what is their motive for this deception?
So you want to know more about the entities. Now, who is spreading this? How do you think? Zaccaria Sitchin met with Corrado Balducci. Who is Corrado Balducci? Corrado Balducci is not only the official spokesman for the UFO in the Vatican. You understand? This is just the front. Who is he? He's a demonologist.
Okay.
The biggest exorcist in the Vatican.
Right.
That should already make you think, okay, there is a connection here between the alien myth and the demonology.
Mm-hmm.
Now we found also that this connection is very much alive when most of the people who have spread the disinformation regarding the alien beings have been from the time of Aleister Crowley, his followers of Hubbard, or whatever. But the people that have been deliberately spreading disinformation. But to a certain extent, Hubbard knew the truth as well as Crowley, because they said themselves, it was Crowley who said, you call them gods, then we call them angels. In 50 years, we will call them something else. He showed the image of the lamb, which was the first image resembling an alien being. This is genies. In Islam, we call them genies. Genies.
But by any other name, what are we talking about? We're talking about spirits. We're talking about a demon is nothing other than a spirit being. A being, who is perhaps not incorporated in the material world?
No, it can incorporate. The thing is that there is a certain degree of misconception. Okay, let me tell you exactly what are these UFOs. UFO, unidentified beings, or objects that fly around. Either they are military stealth operations, which can't be disclosed, or either they are operations regarding the evocation of genies coming from other dimensions. So, an interdimensional door is created, is opened up. Where can these interdimensional doors can be opened up? In certain spaces, certain places, certain holy ground from ancient times known to possess that possibility.
For example,
a purpose. For example,
in Iraq, for example.
Now, just go to Mount Graham and study a bit what the Jesuits are doing up there. There is a war between the American natives, Indians, and the Jesuits, since the Jesuits have tried to build this observatory. And why is that? Because the Indians have used that mountain as holy ground for thousands of years, and there is a specific entity living on top of that mountain, but on another dimension. When he wants, he can be called upon this dimension and evoked. Mm-hmm. The Jesuits, what they want to do. In the meantime, they accuse the American Indians, these are pagans, what are they doing to us? So we have to do science, observe the stars. All rubbish. What they're doing? They are, yes, observing the stars and the planets. Why? Because we always have to reflect above, below, whatever, this rule of the Emerald Tablets of Hermes. I don't need to go on with what is the main rule of the Freemasons, also to reflect below what is above. But it is to evoke these entities in a specific time frame, and this has to be carefully calculated. What is magic? The magic is the calculation of the arts with peculiar calculations around the symbols to evoke certain entities and have from them, if you want, certain gratifications. You can work with them. I, for example, can tell you a story which is a family story from a relative of my wife, actually, who I think is uncle or his grand uncle, whatever, who started working with these entities, these genes. Why? Because he had a little how you say, a little ranch style, American style, you know, call it a ranch, how you call it, you know.
A place, ranch?
Yeah, where you have animals, where you have, where you're planting things. So he was alone. He wanted to find some workers. This guy was very clever because he knew certain secret codes within the Quran that shouldn't be used. He knew how to use them. He knew that reciting certain prayers in a continuous motion, he will evoke certain presences, and eventually he got to make a deal with them, and they were working for him at night in the fields, doing all the field work. And a lot of Americans say, wow, I would love to have that going on in my place, you know. I could have a couple of these genies coming to work for me. But that means subjecting yourself to those entities. That guy had to sell his soul. More than that, he would be enslaved by those forces for the rest of his life. In fact, he had to continuously recite these prayers and then not recite it at certain times and whatever, otherwise he will create for himself a disaster. And so...
Okay, well then, let's talk about you, for example.
And these entities also do the same thing as the, what the Americans call abduction. I found reports in Middle Eastern villages, many Middle Eastern villages, of abductions. But how they're not going to go to an American researcher and say, I saw the UFO. You're not going to find anything. Instead, these entities have appeared, have manifested, not only have took people on inside their dimension, in their own in their own kingdom. They have basically kidnapped people, sometimes beaten them up, and then thrown them back into this dimension. And this happened many times. But
so,
obviously,
so
for the Middle Eastern person,
they
call
it genes. Different language to deal with these entities.
We're definitely using.
Who cares what you call them?
No, but we have to be specific here, because the moment you call them UFO, you are doing exactly what the enemy wants you to do. The moment you call them aliens, you're doing exactly what the enemy wants you to do.
Let's talk about your background a little bit.
No, but let's finish about Planet X, because Planet X is very important. If we don't finish.
Sure. We want to go there, but I'd like to first talk about you. You must have evolved. You have not sold your soul. Is this correct?
At a certain time, I sold my soul. I hope that God will grant me that I will be forgiven for what I did, and I will be able.
Because
to...
you did evocation. You must do this as. Do you consider yourself a master at this point? You're 33-degree Mason.
35 degrees, an honorary title, which I didn't give much importance. The 90 and 95 of the Memphis and Mizraim, which is an Illuminati rite of the Freemasons, which is itself a specific Egyptian rite, I give a bit more importance, because there is a lot more esoteric, evocational knowledge to...
Sure, and you must have meditated and prepared yourself and have the ability to do certain kinds of magic yourself, right?
But I was prepared since I was a kid to enter a reality which was very different probably from the mainstream reality. My grandmother, English grandmother, was called Felicity Mason, well known in the scene as Anne Cumming for having written a book called The Love Habit. She was a very high degree member of the Illuminati. She gave me the first book of Aleister Crowley as a gift when I was 11 years old. It was the Book of Thoth. And from her I learned a lot of things. She had friends, incredible friends. I mean, you can go and check even on the internet, the friends of Felicity Mason was Brian Geiss and William Barrows. William Barrows, one of her best friends. I met incredible people from the Pet Shop Boys to Sting, all the singers, the rock artists, but at the same time also the writers, very avant-garde. I met Brian Geisen in person more than one
sure,
time.
Well,
I met also when I was...
magic and not be an evil person, isn't that right?
And that's the thing. Unfortunately, I discovered after many years, and I have to say this is the final result of my studies, that if you want to stay within the magic realm of respect for God and everything, I mean, magic exists. You can stay in its magic realm, but you don't have to move anything and become an active part of it, because that's dangerous. It's forbidden to do any magic in my new religion, which is Islam, what I've embraced. It's forbidden because it's too dangerous. So I will also advise people that are entering the new agey kind of scenario where you have a lot of this spiritual practice that are somehow misleading, and most of them also manipulated by the usual Jesuits, like the hexagram. Now, the whole thing brought by Gurdjieff. But go and study who is dealing now with this system and who has been behind this system now. And you will see the usual Jesuit. The fact that the Jesuits are even present in the New Age movement is not acknowledged by the New Ages, but they should wake up. If this information from the alien department, the planet text, or whatever other spiritual practice is coming filtered from them, it's because there is a reason. They don't want you to perceive the real matter, the real reality.
What is the real reality then?
The real reality is that we are definitely in a constant fight between angels and demons, between the devil, Iblis, who represents the dark side, and God. Now, if we accept that everything in nature or around us is itself part of God, and a representation of God, we are all emanation of God, or emanations of God. You are one emanation of God in this moment, He's another emanation of God in this moment. I'm, alhamdulillah, another emanation of God. Probably not the best, but at least I try. We all manifest.
Absolutely.
You see, God has 1,001 names, many different ways of being.
Good and evil as well is our good
and evil.
Well,
absolutely, because Iblis itself, the devil, yes, but the darkest side of God, created itself by God. So obviously, there is no creation, neither in the dark or the white side, that is not part of God. Because God is the input, the starting input to this whole universal consciousness, and also universal reality in the material plane. It was by an act of grace of God that we are here today in this little, minimal, infinitesimal planet in a lost solar system, that we are here today, talking like this. Why? But we have also our own history. We are reflections of God in many ways, and we have been granted the possibility of choosing where to go. We want to go towards God, or we want to go towards the darkness.
So tell me, your moment of realization in which you departed from being a member of the Illuminati, what happened to you? What made you change your mind?
See, it was in a very specific period of time in my life. I was actually, my wife was pregnant, waiting for my kid. That was after born Isaac Rumi, alhamdulillah, very good. And he was born on the 7th of July, 2006. And a very specific day, very symbolic also for me, because a year prior to that, I was in London just a week before what happened on the 7th of July. And I have to tell you that definitely the whole of London was flooding with psyops, and they were working all kinds of manipulation to pull off what they pull off that year, which was the terrorist attack in a tube station, an underground station, just one block away from where I used to live. I used to live in Leeson Street, just down the road from my jail. Also, basically, I could have been myself there. I could have been, if I was actually just a few more days in London. But what I realized was that a series of acts of grace, God has given me the possibility of still being here. In the year 2003, I started to clash with the Illuminati, especially the American side of the Illuminati, which was made up of a series of occultists, all very presumptuous, with various secret societies, all manipulated by the CIA in one way or the other, but still loyal to the New World Order plan in any way.
How did you disagree with them?
I disagree with them. Initially, I tried to find the possibility of a meeting. We wanted to celebrate the 1904 anniversary. What's that? The revelation that Alice Crowley made in 1904 was the revelation of Ivas, the messenger of Parakrato, or the messenger of basic Horus, this god from ancient Egypt.
Horus.
Yes,
okay.
he delivered the book that the Illuminati took somehow seriously, which was this Book of the Law, which is the biggest pile of rubbish in the world, but also is a very dangerous book. It's the heretic book that I would definitely, I don't see many books being so heretic, but if there is one that definitely has all the blasphemies, is the book of the Law of Aleister Crowley.
Okay,
but also all the contrast, because this book says on one a beautiful word, that love is the law, love and the will, or each man and each woman is a star. Beautiful words, incredible. But then you have, on another phrase, terrible things, the law of the strong should prevail, Mary should be torn on the cross, Mohammed should be... Sorry for what I'm saying, because really what is on this book, the book of the law, is everything and the contrary of everything, which represents really the Luciferian character of Aleister Crowley. And the fact that he found many adepts for what was to come in the years after him. You see, Aleister Crowley managed to plant his seeds very carefully into America, in California, with the Parsons Lodge, which Hubbard became a member then after he founded Scientology. But he managed to plant his seeds very well, also in Canada. And through these seeds, a revolution came into being. That became after the New Age Revolution, because 10 years after the death of Aleister Crowley, William Burroughs and others were practicing at the Beat Hotel his rituals. And then years after that, we have the 1960s Revolution, which is a whole hymn towards Aleister Crowley's work, if we want. On many sides, it's been manipulated, the 60s, and I must say, very sadly, we have to understand that this manipulation went... especially for the people who are more innocent, who became victims of these gurus coming from India, were deliberately spread into the West with fake and false, showing a little bit of their techniques that obviously the Western man, because the Western man is now so distant from the spiritual reality and the possibility that the spiritual also becomes the material, so these two realities are connected. That's why, when before you ask me who is more powerful, the Pope or the President, well, the thing is, does the President die, the President of the US, or not? Yes, he dies. One day he will die. He can't be immortal, okay? So he has to meet death. Well, for him, to meet death without the approval of the Pope is to be basically scrapped off the map. Because they themselves are relying on those blessings and that network to bring their power to their successors, to the people after them, and to the people after and after.
So you're saying one hand of this washes the other. But to get back to your own realization and your own change.
Yes, it was.
You said you went against. Mainly the Illuminati.
Yeah, at the beginning, as I said,
how did you differ?
At the beginning, what happened was this. I wanted to see if it was possible to give a stop to certain practices of evocation of certain demons that were really dangerous for mankind. I thought at that point I could eventually move on the positive side of things, this movement, also the esoteric movement, which is very powerful also, and taking a lot of people within the New Age field, and bringing them somehow towards the realization of something more positive. I thought that Aleister Crowley was definitely not positive, because it's not the way forward. Aleister Crowley has been put there for a purpose, which is to be the Beast. Now, the Beast is not the best character you have in the Apocalypse. So, in the transformation towards the end of time scenario, and the realization of a revelation that is something that people are waiting for. Everybody's waiting for 2012. Why they're waiting for 2012? Why? Because they are hoping that this will lead to somehow a cosmic consciousness and the unveiling of certain energy. And that's true. The manifestation of these energies upon Earth will be very strong, because the cosmic scenario, the alignment, the way the planets are coming together, the stars and the whole universe, is something that happens to be connected to the holy number of God. For the Illuminati, this number is 25920, 25,120. Part of it is 2160. This becomes the change of an era. In Stonehenge, from the Eastern Gate, we will see the sun. That will be the moment of change for humanity. From a certain age, we enter another age, which is an age full of psychic power and of metaphysical strength. And we have to deal with it, but the powers that are on top of us, what I have been fighting now since I came out of it, is people that unfortunately want to use these powers to their own advantage. If the guy from the CIA will go to that grandmaster, to Lomal Duguet, for example, is a famous occultist in the U.S. He has written many books. He's the guy who writes the introduction for Aleister Crowley Manual.
What is the name again?
Lon Milo Duquette. He's the Grand Secretary, Deputy Grand Master, I think, of the OTO, or the Temple Orientis. He's living in California. I met him. He came here to Norway. I took care of him in London at the time in 2001, just prior to 9/11. We were together. There was a secret gathering here of the Illuminati in the mountains here in Norway, of this branch of Illuminati, because I don't say that the OTO is all the Illuminati. No, there are small branch dedicated to manipulate the young culture, especially, because each one has their own specifics in this new world order. The Rotary Club is built for the businessman. Then, if he wants something more of a thrill, then give him a fancy apron, lift him a couple of sleeves, initiate him to Freemasonry. Then after that, if you see that the guy is ready to be manipulated even more, well, at that point you get him into the elite. You get him into the Illuminati orders. You have the Martinists, you have the Rosicrucians. All these orders have been corrupt by greed. In the West, there is no such thing.
You were a host to this head of the Illuminati in the United States.
Yes.
You're calling him.
Well, he's the head of the Ordo Templi Orientis Illuminati, which is the official representatives of Aleister Crowley. They are the ones who have
and
the copyright over the works of Aleister Crowley.
Fine, but did you find him to be under the thumb of the Jesuits?
No, under the thumb of the CIA.
The CIA.
The CIA. Because
the CIA is under the thumb of the Jesuits.
Okay, he was under the thumb on one side. He was under the thumb of the CIA because he wanted to be a loyal American, a patriot. He thought that by working with them, he could help them with his knowledge. He's particularly clever with the tarot. He's the Grand Master of the Tarot Association in the United States. I'm talking so. And he, at the same time, is also clever with the Nokian tablets and so in the use of that. And he has written many, many, many books.
And you consider him to be a master?
He's definitely a master of the esoteric, but he is, for example, somebody who is used, like I said, from the CIA, but also from the Jesuits on the other side. Now, he himself thought that he was opposing somehow the Jesuits or the Knights of Malta, or even the Skull and Bones, in his, because he was initiated at a level that he didn't have the knowledge of the level on top of him. But the people on top of him, like, for example, William Breeze, who is the head of the OTO in America, linked to Alberto Moscato, who himself was working for the Vatican, for Corrado Balducci, for the Jesuits, and for the usual thing. When, for example, this Corrado Balducci was mentioned to me the first time, it was, I think, maybe spring of the year 2000, that he was mentioned in connection with from Alberto Moscato, that said, "This is my dear friend in the Vatican. I have, I'm working with him." And he himself, Alberto Moscato, that died in mysterious circumstances. He was the head of the Italian OTO. He died in mysterious circumstances just a year and a half ago.
Do you know why was he killed?
2 years ago he was
killed.
In your
opinion?
Well, I know why he was killed.
You do? And why?
The thing was, it's a little bit my fault.
Okay.
Because when my superior in America, which is Giorgio Ugo Balestrieri, Commandante Giorgio Ugo Balestrieri, who is the director of the Rotary Club in New York, who is also a P2 member. Now, people on these Masonic info websites in America have accused me of being a fake, but then I have proven them over and over again with official documentation, which is always in my hands.
Yes.
I remember to all those people out there that I was involved with these people, and that Giorgio Ugo Balestrieri is also an illegal weapons dealer, a guy in charge of the defensive strategies for terrorism. He's the guy who, after 9/11, has made a lot of business selling security equipment to the American airports.
And this was the head, your head.
This was my head for the project, which was not, because we each have a superior, you understand,
yes.
Appointed by another superior. Mm-hmm. Now, my official head was actually my mentor in the Pitu, was Ezio Giunchiglia, the head of the Monte Carlo Lodge. But he presented me to Giorgio Balestrieri because he wanted me to have also an international approach and also have the possibility to build up in the international division of the Rotary Club, which is based in New York, which George Hugo...
Are these own arms dealers then?
Yeah, yeah.
The Rotary Club?
No, the thing is, Rotary Club, there is a lot of good people.
Okay.
They don't know, but they should investigate. Now, I would invite all the people who are there to just go on the internet, punch in George Hugo Balestrieri. See, he was officially involved in the P2 by the list that was taken by the police in 1981. So the name is on the list. There is no how, buts, or this or that. The guy would have been arrested if he still had an Italian passport. He has been given an American passport, and he has also been given the possibility to be the director of your Rotary Club, Americans. Why? Because you are a corrupt nation, subservient to a Vatican, subservient to the Zionists, subservient to a new world order that, in my opinion, is completely corrupt. Now, to accuse me that I will not be eligible to join the Rotary Club, because that's the accusation the Freemasons have made to me. Oh, Leo, how is possible that, well, you know, you could have never joined the Rotary in any case. Well, if I'm not eligible, and I'm not an assassin, I'm not a murderer, in any case, I never did this to... No, but George Hugo Balestrieri, who is being convicted officially in... and also of being a weapon dealer in the Livorno port of Italy during one of the darkest periods of the Italian...
Okay, this Balestrieri, is that how you say his name?
Giorgio Ugo Balestrieri.
Okay, he is the head of the Rotary Club.
Of
now,
New York?
Right
yes, now, right now.
And he used to be sort of your superior.
Yes, until I left the
And you say he's an arms dealer, or was?
Yes, sure, still
and
is.
And he is... He
is one of his...
If he went
to Italy,
would be arrested?
No. If he went in Italy at that time with the Italian passport, but the Americans
right.
gave him immediately an American passport. He's untouchable now.
No,
he's an American passport.
I
you can't touch him. He's not anymore an Italian
Tell
citizen.
Me something. He's Illuminati.
Yes.
Is he also a part of Majestic 12? Do you know who these people are?
No, I never, in my personal experience, Majestic has been always an organization mentioned mostly by conspiracy theorists without foundation. I never found any realistic existence of this Majestic 12 or this Majestic organization.
Committee of the Majority, you do not know these people.
If you talk to me about the CFR, the Trilateral Pact, these are realistic things that exist, they build, they are tangible, you can touch them. The Illuminati, they exist. I was into an organization which I can show you the documents, and that was the
sure.
Universal Humanity of Monte Carlo, the Monte Carlo Lodge.
Okay, but what about...
I mean, these are things I have experienced personally.
I understand, but what about James Jesus Angleton? Because he was...
Sure, he was a Knight of Malta.
A Knight of Malta. Okay?
So,
okay, fine.
Now, we want to say where the Knights of Malta meet up. Because now, recently, people have asked me, do they really meet up in Via Condotti for their decisions, or this is another place? Where I said to Knight of Malta, who emailed me recently, a few things about his own order, and he was shocked. And at the end he said, oh, I didn't know you knew so much, and I have to apologize for my first approach. This guy would call Brian Watley from the Knights of Malta in Ireland. And when I told to him that the real meeting place of the Grand Magistery is on the Aventine Hill, and in fact that's where they had the funeral and the last, and where they showed the body of their Grand Master just a couple of days ago, guys, because the Grand Master of the Knights of Malta, Andrew Berti, died last week. It's something that is happening in the Vatican in the last year or so. First of all, we had the changing of Cardinal Ruini, with Cardinal Bagnasco, that was Vescovo, Bishop Bagnasco before, for the conference, Episcopal Conference in Italy. Then, in January, we had the elections of the new Jesuit Superior General, which is Adolf Nicholas, so somebody who is now completely different from Hans Kovenbach as a character. He's coming from a different experience, though obviously the aims of the order is always the same. I know that Adolf Nicholas has been also close to Thomas Michel, which because they both come from Asia, one was in charge of the province in in Japan, the other one in Indonesia. I mean, so they were close friends in their work. So what I had last year before the elections was that definitely the father Hans Kovenbach was too old for carrying on his job properly, so somebody new had to be called in. I think that they are renewing the blood. They are trying to bring fresh, young arms to the whole system. First, they renovate the Jesuits. Obviously, they couldn't kill Kovenbach, so Kovenbach himself is a little bit too much of a manipulator and will not have been so killable. While instead, I have a couple of doubts on the sudden death of Andrew Berti, especially after just a few weeks after the election of the new superior general, because he was in quite good conditions. He participated to all the latest diplomatic meetings of the Knights of Malta with various heads of states and things like this, so it came to me as a strange news. Though I'm not anymore in that circle, I can't confirm or not if there has been some kind of murder behind the scenes. But in the Vatican, that's very highly possible, you know, to change somebody.
Are you still in touch with some of the people that you knew, you know, some of the members that were close to you back then?
Yeah, some people, very few though, have the courage to still... I have actually even a Masonic obedience in Italy, which is called Grande Oriente Italiano di Piazza del Gesù, which is not connected in any way with what I was doing prior. They invited me to participate to a lodge meeting on the 10th of January in Rome. So I basically, for the first time after 2 years, participated to a Masonic lodge meeting in a lodge that invited an anti-Mason, or at least somebody who is perceived as such by the majority of Masons. But for people, why they did that? Because their own obedience is not corrupt. It's not fearing. They had contacts with the Jesuits, with Padre Caprile in the 70s, their grandmaster prior. That they always been this is a Scottish Rite system, so they have a tradition which is obviously quite linked to the Vatican in some way, especially because they are Grande Oriente Italiano di Piazza del Gesù, which was specifically linked with the Vatican. But at least they had the courage to invite me in a fraternal way to a lodge. Instead, they didn't do what the Grand Lodge of Maine did, which to write a whole page full of rubbish on me and accuse me of being this and that.
Okay, but they invited you. What purpose would you have in going? I went.
I'm going to show you the pictures later.
But I understand. But what did you hope to accomplish?
What I do is to talk openly about what is, for example, the Jesuit influence upon the Scottish Rite, which is an historical influence, which this goes back 3 centuries, so it's interesting under also an historical point of view to discuss with them the influence of the Vatican upon certain branches of Freemasonry, to open their minds against what is the New World Order, trying to discuss and find if there is a way of dialogue. Now, for example, there was in this lodge, the Garibaldi Lodge, some very interesting people, also some intelligence members from the Italian intelligence. But we gathered together, we had a great laugh, a great dinner after, where we talked about Le Brigidine, the order
and
of...
And they're not necessarily all corrupt. Isn't this right? I mean, they are, some of them must be genuine.
What I did is this. Instead of participating to a rite meeting, rite, what is the rite? The rite is every meeting from the 4th degree onwards to the 33. That is the rite. Then you have the order, which is the first 3 degree. In reality, a Freemason can't be more than a Master Mason. The higher degree is the third. And for me, keeping it simple and down to those 3 degrees, actually... is still possible for me to go in a lodge and not practice anything that I can recall as satanic. Okay, you have the death and rebirth myth of Hiram Abiff, but that is like Osiris, is a kind of death rebirth myth that goes on from ancient times. So the Mason is made to believe is Hiram Abiff, is killed, is then resurrected by the Masons there, is given the various grips, the various signs to recognize himself with other Masons worldwide. But when you enter then the rite, for me the Scottish rite is corrupt. I said that. Why? Because part of the degrees have been created by the Jesuits. The York Rite is corrupt. Why? Because part of the degrees have been created by the Zionists, other parts of the degrees have been created by corrupt people close to the Catholic, but also close to the Anglican Church for various reasons. And so at the end, universal Freemasonry is not really universal.